Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded show for you here today. DeMarcus Ware, former NFL great, will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things NFL with him. Look ahead to the Super Bowl as well. Charles Robinson at 9 o'clock from Yahoo Sports. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, drops by at 9:30. So lots still to come here on the program today. And Joe, I know on the show yesterday, you and Ryan Porth spent some time discussing the trade that brings Matthew Stafford to the LA Rams, Jared Goff going to the beloved Detroit Lions. God bless him.
Hey, Brennan, get your Goff jersey, buddy. We're so excited.
Wish him the best of luck.
When's his birthday?
September.
That's a perfect time to get him a Jared Goff jersey. The honeymoon period is still going on between Goff and the Lions.
I tweeted out, so it was like one Christmas, several Christmases ago, like he was very young. I think his grandparents got him a Calvin Johnson jersey.
That's good.
I tweeted out like, I'm trying to not let this sickness happen in my house, but here we go.
Well, at least Calvin Johnson's
great. Yeah. Hey, Matthew Stafford, very good. By the way, I'd like your take on the Stafford Rams
team. I like it. Look, I understand they gave up a lot, but you're not winning with Jared Goff. I think people, and that's what I've noticed, and we're going to get to this a little bit more here in a second. I know that you have some strong feelings about this. I've seen the reaction nationally. Not a whole lot of respect for Matthew Stafford. That's what I've noticed the last few days. I don't think people realize how good he is. I mean, the Detroit Lions are awful. I don't need to tell you this. They're awful. I mean, the way they handle things, the decisions that they've made, I think the upgrade from Goff to Stafford is pretty big. I think it's a pretty big upgrade to the point where I think the Rams are right near the top of the list of teams in the NFC next year. I mean, I think if he can stay healthy, they're going to be very, very good. So I love it for the Rams.
I'm with you. I mean, look, I need like multiple segments to yell at Jared today, but he's not alone. Like you said, there are a lot of people questioning. I feel like it's kind of a mixed bag out there on this. Michael Rosenberg from Sports Illustrated, who was at the Detroit Press, covered Matthew Stafford a lot. I mean, he wrote the column like, this is a slam dunk for the Rams. I mean, this is a great move. It's a huge upgrade. Now, I also agree with people who say, are you giving up on Jared Goff totally? I think Jared Goff, again, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. Jared Goff, to me, is very much like Kirk Cousins. Give him a good pocket. Give him protection. Give him everything as it's supposed to be. He'll be accurate. He'll get you numbers. He'll produce. He's good. You take those guys, and I love Kirk Cousins, but you take him, you make things uncomfortable for him. He's not a play extender, improvised guy who makes plays. It usually goes badly, and I feel like the same thing with Goff, like that terrible pick he threw in Seattle. Stafford is so much more talented than both those guys. I mean, so much more talented. It's interesting, even in Detroit, there's kind of like the back and forth on this, sort of like, well, what about some of the bad picks he threw or, some of the clutch moments he didn't come through? He also, like, had so many game-winning drives for that awful ragamuffin franchise. I think it's a great move. And if you're the Rams, you gave up a ton. You gave up more also to take on Goff's contract. That's sort of the – right? Dude, what's the point here? Are you not trying to win a Super Bowl? The point here is to win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
How do you win a Super Bowl? You probably need a good quarterback. Usually, I think that they've I think they got a real chance to do it now. If they don't, they don't. I think it's an absolute worthwhile swing.
Especially in that division. I mean, you got a lot of really good teams coming up in that division as well. And San Francisco, healthy next year, they could still be a problem depending on who the quarterback is. So still a lot to get figured out on that part of it as well.
So much QB movement still to come.
I would love to know, I think I brought this up yesterday, Joe, but I would love to know what the Rams' interest level would have been in Deshaun Watson. Like, how many conversations would have been had between the Rams and the Texans? Because if you're going to give up a lot of the future and continue to go without drafting people in the first round, I mean, I would rather have Deshaun Watson over Matthew Stafford.
Sure.
Agree.
And Watson gives you a longer window to win with that current core in L.A.
This gives you a little idea. And there was some reporting on that. I mean, they certainly inquired. I think, like, everybody has inquired.
Well, there was a report out over the weekend from the L.A. Times that they took a shot at Aaron Rodgers and tried to see what the interest level was there. Now, Brian Gutekunst, Green Bay's GM yesterday, totally shot that down and said it was untrue, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, that would make sense. I mean, I would want either of those guys before Stafford.
Maybe they talked to the Texans, and the Texans were like, we got to see what Watson's – we got to talk to him. We got to work this out.
The Rams said,
all right, Stafford's available. We'll just go get him.
Because Washington made a big play for Stafford, for sure. In fact, I can find that out, exactly what they offered. We were talking about that in the Slack channel. But and it's probably been reported, but they offered a lot. And we know the Colts were after him. So that's an interesting spot. It's like, man, we'd really rather have Watson. But right now, this guy, we can get him. So they got him. And yeah, it's been a mixed bag reaction, and we'll see. You know, I don't know for sure Stafford's going to be great there or win a Super Bowl, but I've watched a lot of Matthew Stafford football. The guy, I think a lot of people don't understand how good he is, including Stillman, who was making Andy Dalton comparisons. I mean, just stop it, Jared. Stop it. And also, actually, I have a more problem with Stillman like ripping Orlovsky as an analyst.
Right.
I don't. So he's hard pass.
This was on Twitter last night.
Yeah. Stone and I got in a big fight on Twitter last night.
So I'm shocked. Rexrode got in a Twitter fight.
So he's like hard pass on Orlovsky because I guess he was, you know, all big on Carson Wentz, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we all have bad opinions. If you're hard passing on someone from a bad opinion, Jared. I've had bad opinions. We've all had bad opinions.
Sure.
Jared, how much hard passing are we doing on you, Jared? I'm not hard passing on you, Jared. I want to keep hearing your opinions.
Exactly.
So give Dan Orlovsky a chance. I'd say he's a pretty decent analyst. I'd say he's one of the best guests we've had on this show.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay, is there some bias because he played behind Matt Stafford? I suppose. It's the same, that same sort of thing as, like, we're talking about with Vrabel and Shane Bowen. Like, okay, I'm sure that there's personal feelings there, your friends and all that, but is Dan Orlovsky going to lie right now and BS because he played with – I mean, come on.
And you brought up kind of the audio that Orlovsky was talking about there with Matthew Stafford. Here's what Dan Orlovsky had to say about Matthew Stafford and the move made by the L.A. Rams.
This is a guy that every player says, like, yo, that dude's really good, and everyone's going to go, well, he hasn't won in the playoffs. We've never seen him with this kind of competent team around him. The reality is both he and the Rams – have chose to try and choke on greatness rather than nibble on mediocrity. And RC's right. They got to go win a Super Bowl. But at least they're taking their swing at it. This is a no-brainer for the Rams.
So that was Dan Orlovsky talking about the move made by L.A. And you kind of tweeted that out last night, the clip over the top of that. And that's where
the fight
you
started.
And Stillman got into it about Andy Dalton and Matthew Stafford. Look, all due respect to Andy Dalton. I think Matthew Stafford pretty clearly better.
Now I need to find the – because, like, you know, Jared brought up, like, more Pro Bowls or whatever. So Stafford didn't get a Pro Bowl one year when he had 5,048 yards and, like, 41 TDs. He didn't get a Pro Bowl. So – but Andy Dalton got one. Come on, man.
It's because Andy Watch Dalton football. Took the Bengals to the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
Which Stafford deserve an award for that.
Stafford did the Lions of the playoffs a few times, too, which is amazing. That's a Nobel Peace Prize.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew texts in and says, Andy Dalton, greater than Dan Fouts. There you go.
Let's not
You're
even
never
going
to live down
stuff.
To Dan Fouts.
That's fine. I'll start wearing a Dan Fouts jersey to work if you want me to.
I would love to.
In fact, maybe I will.
Maybe you should start doing that.
Go find one.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Hang with us if you're on our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to you coming back. Matthew Stafford going to L.A. What do we think of this move? What more quarterback movement could we see around the league? All that coming up. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about some quarterback movement in the NFL. Matthew Stafford now with the Rams. Jared Goff goes to the Detroit Lions, and where exactly do the Rams fit in now in the picture in the NFC? And I got to tell you, Joe, I look at their roster. I look at Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, the defense that they have that I think is still going to be very strong again next year. You get Stafford in there if he can stay healthy. I know you don't have like this, you know, game-breaking wide receiver. You got a lot of really good wide receivers in L.A., I really like the potential of this offense. Like, I don't think you're going to see, you know, Stafford just chucking it down the field and, you know, Robert Woods going up to get it or Cooper Kupp going up to snatch it away from people like we saw at times with Calvin Johnson. But that guy with, I think, three or four weapons that are really good offensively, not to mention I think Cam Akers really came on in the second half of the year. That offense has a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he has had Calvin Johnson. So, hey, anybody who has Calvin Johnson, that helps. But he's never had a running game, and he's rarely had good defenses. Now, he had a team that they actually went to Dallas, and they should have won a playoff game in Dallas, and he played great. And that team had a very good defense with Ndamukong Suh inside. So it's not like he's never had good defenses, but that was sort of the outlier. For the most part, bad defenses, no running game. I mean, I'm getting into it with Lions fans on Twitter now. You poor souls. You know, like, he wasn't clutch. Okay, I'll look up how many game-winning drives Stafford had. He had a lot of them, pulling wins out of nowhere for that team. Didn't always do it. He threw a pick sometimes late. He wasn't perfect. But, I mean, he's easily the best. He's the best quarterback Lions have ever had. Easily. Easily.
Yeah.
And I just – anyone who's, like, comparing him to Andy Dalton, it's just that there's such a gap between the talent level and the production level there. And also – I mean, if you flip-flopped it, those Bengals teams were pretty good. I mean, they couldn't win. They couldn't get over the hump either and win a playoff game. But those were much better, well-rounded teams than he's had. And this is a team like that, too. I think the Rams are right there as a Super Bowl contender next year.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Ryan from Nashville, who wants to weigh in on Matthew Stafford. Ryan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. And, Robbie, you know, as a Packers fan, I got nothing but respect to Stafford. When he had weapons, Calvin Johnson, Burrows, and a couple tight ends, he was hard to beat. Now he's going to L.A., who actually has weapons he can actually use and to his disposal, and I think he's going to be good. I think he said L.A. is going to compete for definitely a playoff spot, even probably a Super Bowl next year. And for Jared Stillman, he wouldn't know talent if you handed him on a silver platter.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. Hey, look, I don't know if – like, Matthew Stafford is not – he's not Mahomes or Rodgers. Nobody's saying that. But is he an upgrade on Jared Goff? That's the question here. How big of an upgrade is Matthew Stafford on Jared Goff? I think it's significant. Now, you could spin – I mean, Jared Goff did take the Rams to the Super Bowl. That is the bar. Now, didn't play great in that Super Bowl, and I think if you watch that team play – Jared Goff was not the chief reason that they were in the Super Bowl. But he did take the Rams to a Super Bowl. Can Stafford get back there, number one, and get them over the hump? That is a heck of a bar, but that's going to be the bar that's been established for the Rams here. Look, I don't know whether or not they're going to go win a Super Bowl. I don't know if this automatically, you know, catapults them over the Packers or the Bucks or whoever name, even the Seahawks in their own division. Like, I don't know if this automatically just makes them better than those teams. But if I'm a Rams fan today, looking at the next 2 to 3 years with this group right here, I feel a lot better today. And quite frankly, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm ecstatic that Matthew Stafford ended up in L.A. and not in Indianapolis. I mean, that was, to me, the landing spot for Stafford that made the most sense. And if I'm a Titans fan, the fact that he's not in Indy, I am thrilled about that today. Now, obviously, not knowing what Indy does, like, you know, if they go out and get Deshaun Watson, probably feeling a little bit differently. But yeah, I was really concerned, if I'm a Titans fan, that he ends up there, and I think he takes that team to the clear favorite in the AFC South as well. So this worked out pretty well for the Titans.
Big time. And, yeah, I mean, if you rule out Watson and Rodgers, which I will for the Colts, they're not going to do better than this. Matt Ryan, you know, maybe. Could a Carson Wentz be revived and you know, maybe.
Maybe.
Dan Orlovsky believes in Carson Wentz, apparently. But no one with, to me, the all-around benefit that you get from Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, game-winning drives, active leader since 1960. Number one, Drew Brees, 53. Number two, Tom Brady, 48. Number three, Ben Roethlisberger, 46. And then tied at four, Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford, both at 38.
See, I would not have guessed that. I knew that he's led a lot of comebacks. I would not have guessed he's in the top five.
And again, for the Lions.
Yeah, that's a big part of why I would not have guessed
right.
that.
I know. I mean, I think he got him to the playoffs four times. I mean, again, that's, you know, some sort of medal of honor there for Matthew, along with, you know, here you go. Here's your ticket to L.A.
Four times?
I think so. Let me make sure. I mean, they absolutely should have beat the Cowboys in that game,
yeah.
And they didn't. They had an incredible shootout with Drew Brees and the Saints, which, again, Stafford was incredible in the game. His defense, I think, got one stop in the entire game. They lost to the Seahawks, so maybe it's three. Let me look up this distinguished Detroit Lions playoff history. At least three.
I mean, that's a heck of an accomplishment for that organization.
Well, Andy Dalton got the Bengals to five straight playoff appearances.
Right. But that's the thing. So let's compare the teams, you know.
A.J. Green, right. Calvin Johnson. Calvin that's Johnson's true. Better.
you have a point there. If it's 2-on-2 quarterback receiver, then
he's in good shape at that point.
Then I'm going Lions.
Oh,
so let's see. So Stafford, good call. It is just the three.
Yeah, don't be giving him too much credit.
Yeah. Yeah,
so pumping the tires of Stafford over here.
I mean, that loss to the Cowboys. And again, so this is I talk about Brennan's sad Lions fandom. I mean, that was – so he was, what, 7 for that game? So, you know, like 7 years old, you're just starting to watch football?
Yeah.
And they absolutely had that game won. So that was the year, if you guys remember. I know you will, Robbie. So it was a terrible, like, non-call on a PI that is why, like, the Cowboys won that game. And then the Cowboys got hosed in Lambeau, like, the next week.
He didn't catch it.
Oh, man, that was bad. Bad officiating. It's an NFL tradition in the playoffs. It is.
So as you look at this move now, like, what are the Lions going to do? Is Jared Goff really going to be their guy moving forward here? Are they going to draft another one? Like, we've seen some mock drafts, maybe having Justin Fields going to the Lions or drafting Zach Wilson. Like, they drafting another guy? Wait and see what Goff looks like?
It's a great question because they have now the capital to move up, too. If they want to make a big move – I mean, you know, if there was any way you could wedge your way and lure the Jaguars out of there, then you would, but no one will. I don't know. Look, you could do a lot worse, I still think, than Jared Goff as your quarterback. He's good. You could have that for a while and see how it goes. I've seen this. I've seen the speculation of what if the Lions turned around and dealt him to Indy. There's no penalty, too, for them to deal Goff. What would Titans fans think about Goff as the Colts quarterback?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be all that scared. Like, let me ask you this. Who would you rather have, Jared Goff right now or Phillip Rivers from last year?
Goff. Because, especially with that team, because they run the ball, the play-action game is strong with them, they protect the quarterback. I think in the right situation, Goff, he's pretty good. His numbers are good.
I ask that because I think it's pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, Goff can at least push you down the field some, and he doesn't throw as many ridiculous picks. One thing I didn't know about before any of this is, like, apparently Goff and McVay hate each other's guts. I didn't know this.
So.
But I guess so. So we'll see. Apparently, you know, McVay and, like, I think McVay and his wife and Stafford's wife are really close. They had dinner in Cabo the night they signed him. So, I mean, it's just match made in heaven.
Sean McVay.
Bros in L.A. And Clayton Kershaw. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We get to hear about Stafford and Kershaw, our best friends.
They played on the same baseball team when they were younger.
God, can't wait for all these stories.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says the Colts have options at quarterback. They can either throw a third-round pick for a guy like Sam Darnold or possibly look for them to make a move up in the draft for one of the top four quarterbacks. It's a good call for Ballard. Do not mortgage the future and give up assets like the Rams did.
Well, that's fine. If the Rams go and win a Super Bowl, then I'll say, I don't know, Chris. Maybe you should have looked at him. Because I think Stafford can win a Super Bowl with the Rams, and I think the Colts with him, if they don't have to disrupt most of their lineup, I think they're right under Kansas City with that. Because does Darnold do that for him? Does Goff? Does Wentz? I don't know. Some of them could. You know, you never know. I mean, like, Wentz is a guy who's interesting because I do think that he could still have good football left in him if he gets healthy.
Yeah.
But I think the surest thing out there, other than Watson and Rodgers, was Stafford.
I'll be honest, like ever since he retired, I've been waiting on Andrew Luck one day to like pick up his little flip phone and be like, "All right, Chris, I'm ready to come back and play."
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No. There was another uprising of hope from Colts fans there, but no.
It doesn't look like
he's good.
Andrew Luck has much interest in doing that. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Nashville Predators. If you're David Poyle and you've seen this team through the first nine games, what are your thoughts? What do you need to see to make some additions to this team? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, tune in every weekday morning at 8:45 when the Preds have a weekday game for your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The next chance to participate is coming up this Thursday, February 4th, as the Predators take on the Florida Panthers. And so far, Preds Pick the Click not going very well for myself and Ryan Porth. Joe Rexroad continues to dominate the competition. Our listeners are doing great. Joe Rexroad is doing great. Ryan Porth and Robbie Stanley, not so much.
We have work to do.
Yeah, we do.
Well, you know, we'll get to Pigskin Pick'em this week, and, you know, we can see.
Yeah, I suck at that, too.
Well, you don't suck as much as I do.
So I've got some work to do in the competition part of our program here.
We might have to just blow it out on Friday and give everyone a chance to win.
Yeah, have 35
like,
picks.
Like a bunch of props.
Will we have to have 35 picks?
For me to have a chance to win?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Not have to go completely opposite.
Is that how far I'm ahead?
I think, I don't know. Let me see. I may have actually.
Well, we didn't have it last week, but obviously we didn't want to do the virtual Pro Bowl. By the way, did y'all watch any of the Pro Bowl video game playing that was going on?
Somebody said it was kind of fun, but no, I watched none of it.
So it's like a normal Pro Bowl for you. You didn't watch a single second of it.
Exactly. Okay, hold on. So I can give you little preview. Okay, so right now, Morth, 47-44, 56 points, 9-9 on your locks. Robbie, 38-53, 49 points, 11-7 on your locks. Me, 39-52, one better than Robbie.
Thank you.
But 46 points, 3 points behind you, 7-11 on my locks. So,
do better.
So what's the point standing? 56-49 to 46.
So
It's closer than I thought, but that still takes some work.
Yeah. I mean, it would take some kind of dramatic. I mean, we could do like, you know, I mean, how many props can you realistically come up with?
Oh, there's a bunch, man.
Yeah. I mean, reasonable.
We could do our super picks contest at thegamenashville.com, which is 10.
Yeah.
10 picks.
I like that.
Okay.
I'm going to go opposite.
So if you happen to get all of them wrong,
I mean,
and I get all of them right,
so the problem your lock.
The odds are in your favor.
Yeah. I just want to beat Robbie.
I mean,
I got a chance at that.
Look, if Kyle Shanahan was making the picks for me, he could, you know, end up blowing that lead on Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
That genius.
Yeah, Kyle, anytime you're around him or Sean McVay, you'll find yourself in a job. Well, speaking of competition that I've got to do, there's some competition on this poll question right now of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Which element of the Preds has been the most frustrating through the first nine games of the season? Production from stars, the penalty kill, the power play, or goaltending? 237 votes are in. 49% just went up. 49% going with production from the stars. Penalty kill at 23% at the moment. Power play at 22%. And goaltending at 6%. So not very many people blaming the goaltending right now. So far, the production or lack thereof from some star players been the most frustrating part of this team. From Predators fans, I don't think that's overly surprising.
No.
Oh, I thought the penalty kill would give them maybe a better run.
Well, you know, and penalty kill, it's sort of like when we did players versus coaches on the Titans. I mean, to me, that's also GM. That's also acquiring players. And in this, penalty kill is also taking dumb penalties. I mean, that's part of that category. And I think that definitely should be right there, but I'm not surprised that stars are leading the way because that's what people get upset about, and understandably so. When you have star players who aren't producing, who aren't scoring, and make a lot of money.
Yeah, and it kind of begs the question, if you're David Poyle watching all of this unfold, we've talked about the offense and the struggles that they've had. I mean, I think last night coming into the game, they were 27th in the league with 2.38 goals per game, and obviously that went down last night. You end up with two goals in that game against Tampa, a 5-2 loss. Like as you evaluate this group, You're 4-5. You're about right where I think most people expected you to be at this point in terms of right on the bubble of making the playoffs. I mean, you're going to be fighting and scratching and clawing all season long to try to get in. Is there a scenario, if you're David Poile, where you decide to be a buyer this year? We've seen it. David Poile, not afraid to go for it, not afraid to make some moves at the trade deadline to try to either catapult his team into the playoffs or have success and try to make a run at a Stanley Cup once you get there. With this group in this year, with the pandemic being what it is and the salary cap being what it is, do you envision a scenario where David Poile decides to be a buyer based on what we've seen so far?
I mean, if I was forced to pick right now, forced to predict one or the other, you don't have, you know, of course, you don't have to be either. But if I was forced to pick one or the other, I think I'd pick seller. And this is, I know that right now they're coming off two losses, you know, so, you know, rough performance last night. But if they're just a middling team, let's say they kind of do this, they beat the teams they should beat, they are kind of outclassed by the better teams in their division. You know, they're hovering around, maybe having a chance to make the playoffs. Certainly, everybody says, make the playoffs. Just make the playoffs, yeah. Get in. That's then who knows? And it's true. We've seen it a lot in this league. But, I mean, is it not – if you have a chance to just totally change things and get a lot back for one of your high-priced players, and there's a contender out there who just covets one of them, don't you have to consider that? If that's how things go, if this is just sort of an okay team?
I think you do. I think David Poile has made it fairly clear that, you know, the longer this goes on and that you're not getting production from your star players, the more willing he's going to be to change things up. Like, he knows that this window, I mean, some people are making an argument the window's already shut. And look, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I think people make too much of the window conversation in the NHL. Things can change in a hurry. I mean, the St. Louis Blues missed the playoffs the year before they won the Stanley Cup. So things can change in a hurry in this league. But, I mean, like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out they've been going in the wrong direction. So far, they are exactly what I thought they would be, and that is right around a 500 team and right around the border of a team that's competing for a playoff spot. I think that's what they're going to be all season long. If I'm David Poile, just based on what the prospect pool looks like right now, which is not great outside of Philip Tomasino, Ellie Tolvanen scores a big goal last night. There are a couple pieces that I think you feel really excited about. I mean, Askarov as well at the goaltending position. Outside of that, it's not great in the pipeline still. I'm trying to get some picks and kind of restock that cupboard a little bit. So, you know, I think a lot of Predators fans, when they didn't go make the big move this offseason and bring in a Taylor Hall or somebody like that, okay, maybe you're leaving the door open with the salary cap that you've created to make a big move at the deadline. And I do think that was part of the plan for Poile, that, hey, if things are going well, you've got enough money right now from a salary cap perspective to operate and go out there and maybe add to this group, bringing in some more help on the wing to score. If it stays like it is right now and you're right on the bubble all season long, I'm not making that move if I'm David Poile. I think the cupboard is too bare to keep making moves like that all the time.
Right. I mean, if you're buying that, to me, by the way, when is the trading deadline in this weird year? Do we know?
Sometime in March, isn't it?
It's pushed back a little bit. But it's not. Yeah. I mean, I guess like it.
April 12th.
Okay.
So even later than
I
thought.
A little bit later. Look, we don't know what's going to happen. It's 9 games in, so maybe some things click and come together and they really make a push and it's like, okay, maybe this team actually could do some damage in the postseason. Then I suppose it's possible. You know, what is he, for the most part, you know, he's been trying to add forwards that help you and hasn't had much success doing it. But boy, I would have to think it would have to be some things that it's right now would be hard to foresee with this team.
I want to see how this team does in the next 6 games.
6 games.
6 games. 2 at Florida.
Yeah.
Florida's been pretty darn good to start the season. 2 at home against Tampa Bay. And then
oh yay.
And then
get them again.
You get two at home against Detroit.
Yeah.
And those six games, I think, will be a good litmus test for where this Preds team is when they go back to Dallas after that Detroit series.
You get them again, too.
You have a back-to-back in Dallas. So these next six games, I mean, if they continue to just kind of tread water a little bit and remain at .500, then I think we're going to know what this team is. But if they can bounce back and play well against Florida, maybe steal one from Tampa Bay next week and sweep Detroit, then I think you're feeling better about their chances of, you know, ending up with that four spot in the division.
So you're saying get what? I mean, you're not suggesting 10 of 12 points there.
No, but
8?
Is 8 reasonable out of those 12 points?
That'd be pretty good, I think.
Like, you sign up for that right now.
Yeah.
If you're the Predators.
You steal one from Florida, you steal one from Tampa, and you sweep Detroit.
That's if this team is going to have what it takes to get into the playoffs this year, you've got to absolutely dominate Detroit and Chicago. I mean, you can't have these nights where, you know, Chicago sneaks up and beats you. Like
almost
happened twice, and that doesn't make you feel great if you're the Predators. But look, I mean, just from a pure talent perspective, Chicago's not good. Detroit's not good. I mean, you can't have those teams sneaking up and beating you two or three times this year. I mean, I don't know if you need to sweep them all. It's hard to do in the NHL, but you can't have Detroit coming in here and beating you three times this year. I mean, it's going to be so difficult to get to where you want to get to if that's the case.
The good news is, you know, you had this weird success against, you know, Tampa Bay, and now they're in your division, and it's like, okay, here's reality. Maybe that'll happen with the Detroit too, because there's been this weird lack of success against their awful teams. So maybe now it's like, okay, this is a reality. You're going to play them a lot. You're going to beat them. You got to beat them. You got to beat them like a drum.
Yeah, and a lot of this conversation that we're talking about with the way David Poile approaches the rest of the season, I think really hinges on the success or failure of two guys. And it's not been a great start from a production standpoint. When we come back, how patient should David Poile and the Predators be with their top two centermen to get things figured out offensively? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by DeMarcus Ware, NFL great linebacker, probably future Hall of Famer as well, joining us next in the 8 o'clock hour to kick that off. So looking forward to that conversation with him. We'll get into all things Titans pass rush, the Super Bowl, lots of topics to get into with DeMarcus Ware. So that coming up here in just about 12 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation. But right now, Joe Rexroad, talking about the Nashville Predators, and it has been a very slow start from a production standpoint from the top two centermen for the Nashville Predators. No goals between Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. 6 assists combined through the first 9 games. Now, I said it earlier in the show, I kind of view those two at the moment through two different lenses. I think Matt Duchene has played pretty well on a nightly basis. Like, he had a really bad turnover against Chicago that ended up in the back of the net. Other than that, I think Duchene's been pretty rock solid for the most part. Ryan Johansson, you know, he got on the score sheet Saturday night against Tampa Bay. Ryan Johansson, to me, the last few games, not playing with the same consistency level, not with the same, I'm not going to say effort level, but I just think not as dangerous as Matt Duchene has been over the course of the last little bit. And John Hines was asked about this last night after the loss the Predators had to Tampa Bay, about how patient you can be with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene when the production is not there. Here's what John Hines had to say.
Hi, John. I know that you have had a lot of good things to say this season about the play of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, but we're 9 games into the season. It combined for 0 goals and 6 assists. At what point does that lack of production become unacceptable?
Well, you know, it's something that we need those guys to obviously be able to produce, but, you know, they're working at it. We're trying to help them work at it to be able to find ways to be able to put the puck in the net. And I mean, you can only control what you can control. And right now we got to help them. We got to help those guys figure out certain things that, you know, either they can do better or we can help them with to be able to produce.
So that was John Hines after the game last night. And look, I think it was a great question by Adam Vingan. I mean, if you're John Hines, I don't really know what you could say there. I mean, this is the hands that you have right now. This is the hands you've been dealt. Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. And like I said, I think it's two different stories with those two. But at some point, the chances are one thing. You got to convert. Like, you got to start putting those in the back of the net. You've got to start putting up points. That's what you're paid to do. And it's been a very slow start from that standpoint for Duchene and Johansson. If you're the Predators, how long do you just kind of hope they snap out of it before you realize, hey, maybe they're just not going to snap out of it?
Vingan, bringing the heat, Vingan. You know, brings me back to last year, and he kept asking LaViolette about his job. Peter seemed to really enjoy those questions after a while. And the thing is, it's like, I mean, it's a good question. At what point is it unacceptable? And then, of course, like you said, okay, well, if it's unacceptable, then what are you doing? You're not playing them?
Right.
And I agree with you. Look, we've said it. We said it earlier in the show for sure. Matt Duchene is in a bad luck.
It's almost unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, I don't know if you saw. So after he's on the doorstep last night, and he tries to lift it, and he just lifts it completely over everything.
Yeah.
And he goes back to the bench, and I mean, I thought he was going to do like a Bo Jackson with a baseball bat for a minute with a stick.
He wanted to just
smash something, you know, because he's had so many opportunities like this and he's been so close. And yeah, you have to bear him. You have to finish. You have to. Well, if you're that guy, you have to finish. But I do look at it very differently between those two. Now, Hines maybe already did something, and he did it some last year, and LaViolette did it last year. And that is just have a seat, Ryan. And I don't know if that's what was happening last night in third period or not, but that's it. I mean, and the problem is that, you know, this team just has such offensive needs that it's hard to, like, how you have to go with those guys.
Yeah, like, you're not helping anybody at this point if you're doing that with Johansson and Duchene. Like, benching them at this point, I mean, it's not going to solve it. You've gone down that road. I mean, it's not going to solve anything. To me, it's really gotten to this point, especially with Johansson, because he's been here longer, and I think you have expectations with him of where you need him to be. You've seen him do it at a high level with this team, and you've seen, quite frankly, what a difference it makes when he does it at a high level. To me, it's really simple. Like, if this doesn't get better with Ryan Johansson this year, you got to move on. Like, you can't just sit around every year and wait for Ryan Johansson to get it figured out and to play at this level. I mean, look, we've seen how good he is. I think he was, outside of Pekka, the number one reason why they ended up in the Stanley Cup Final in 2017. He was that good, that dominant while he was healthy. I think he came back the next year, played really well again. You win a President's Trophy. The next year after that, he's got 50 assists, and you win the division for the second year in a row. Those things are not coincidences. It's because Ryan Johansson was playing at a very high level. Now, has Ryan Johansson ever played at the level of, you know, some of the elite centermen in this league? No. Will he ever? No. He's not going to be that guy. That doesn't mean you can't win with him. That doesn't mean that he can't be very, very good. But he has not been that guy for the last season plus at this point. Last year, he was never that guy. So far this year, he has not been there in terms of a production standpoint. And you can't just sit around and wait on it forever if you're the Predators.
Now, what I'm about to throw out there isn't an apples to apples comparison, but hear me out on this. So there was always the term playoff Colin Wilson, right? Where Colin Wilson was a different player in the playoffs versus what he was in the regular season. I think in the regular season, everybody was hoping that Colin Wilson would become or live up to the potential that we all knew that he had being a first round pick in this league. And I think there's a little bit of that going on with Johansson of, you see what Ryan Johansson can be in the playoffs. You know, the bubble last year was not technically the playoffs, but it was at the same time essentially playoff hockey for this team. And we saw his close to his best, at least. We keep referring to 2017. I'd say he was just as good in 2018 when they got bounced in the second round by Winnipeg. And 2019 notwithstanding against Dallas, but I mean, the best hockey that we see out of Ryan Johansson is in the playoffs. And in the regular season, it's just kind of Jekyll and Hyde.
But you brought up Dallas. He was a no-show in Dallas, in that Dallas series.
That whole first line was.
Yeah. Well, right. Everybody but Rocco Grimaldi was.
Exactly.
Right? Basically.
Right. And I hear what you're saying. But Johansson's regular season levels, it's higher than this. Like, this is unacceptable, what we've seen the last season plus from Ryan Johansson. I mean, you're talking about 36 points last year in 68 games. I mean, the season before that, he had 50 assists. Not 50 points, 50 assists. So, look, there's always been a, hey, Ryan, why don't you play this way every night like you do in the playoffs kind of thing? And like, I that's just not going to happen at this point. I think we've seen enough body work, I think, to realize that's not going to happen at this point. That doesn't mean this is what he is. Like, we've seen Ryan Johansson play in the regular season at a much higher level than we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean, for six straight years, he was basically a 60 to 70 point guy, you know, for six straight years. And then, of course, like you said, last year, it is kind of like the Dallas series started this, you know, other than like you said, I mean, I still consider it the play. I mean, it's a postseason series. He was great in the bubble. And you're like, oh, there he is. But, and I thought early this year, I thought he looked good in the first few games. Like, yeah. Okay, that, you know, you're noticing him, but here we are again, not noticing him. And then again, whatever. How many, what did seven straight
minutes? 7 minute stretch last night in third period that he was just on the bench.
Yeah.
Now, Victor Arvidsson was too, and he had eight shots on goal.
That's
first
weird.
Periods.
That's what.
So maybe, sometimes things happen and you just lose a line for whatever reason. But if you're John Hines, like, you're down, you're trying to come back in the game, can you really afford to lose that line? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, exactly. I mean, you were still in the game. You had fought back to 4-2. So that's not when you do stuff like that. It's when the game's out of reach and you're trying to send a message.
Exactly. So, if you're the Predators, this is a crucial year for these two. I mean, we knew that heading in. We knew that if this team was going to go anywhere, you're going to have those four guys be productive. We talked about it so much heading into the season. Duchesne, Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg. I've been pretty happy with Arvidsson. I've been pretty happy with Forsberg. I think Duchesne's playing well, but the playing well stuff only takes you so far. You got to find a way to put it in the back of the net. So that's going to be the challenge as the Predators move forward here. And if they can't do it, maybe some decisions to make down the pike here if you're David Poile.
Duchesne's fighting right now. You want to see Johansson fight this production. And, Johansson, look, this is a guy who I guess the question is how attractive is he with his contract to other teams given kind of an extended stretch of a reduced player?
Yeah.
But this is – I mean, that's one ticket to blowing this thing up and getting some assets and trying to, if you can move a guy like that for something significant. I mean, I think selling right now is more likely than buying for the Preds, and that's first time in how many years has that been said?
When we come back, we will be joined by DeMarcus Ware, NFL great outside linebacker. We'll get into the Super Bowl with him and also talk about the Titans pass rush or lack thereof as well. All that coming up. That's Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.